Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Yes, it is the Bill Press Show. My name is Peter Ogburn, here with a version of our podcast where we don't have a ton of time to get everything in that we want to during the regular show. So we do the podcast here where we bring you some stories that we want to talk about. And boy, what a doozy we have today. This story is about Andrew Wheeler. He is the EPA chief. I guess he's the acting director now, right? He hasn't been officially confirmed. And some of his behavior online. We are talking to Alexander Kaufman from the HuffPost. You can follow him on Twitter at Alex C. Kaufman. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, first of all, Andrew Wheeler took over after Scott Pruitt resigned, after all the scandals that he had. He had to resign back in, I guess it was like July. And Andrew Wheeler is the acting director now. Is he going to, I mean, what's the deal with his sort of confirmation? Is that on the table, or what's the deal?
Well, so he was, you know, he was initially confirmed as the deputy administrator just before, actually, Scott Pruitt was forced to step down. And it was very clear at the time, I and some others were writing, that, you know, it was very clear that Scott Pruitt was in the midst of these mounting ethics scandals, and there was a very good chance he could be forced to step aside. And so this vote to confirm Andrew Wheeler as the number two could very well be that confirmation vote. So sure enough, that did happen in July. And the rules around his ascendancy to the acting director, it's pretty wishy-washy. So the president has a lot of leeway under acting rules about how long he can keep an acting agency chief in place. I mean, there's a very good chance that, legally speaking, you know, the White House could have him ride out the rest of the president's first term just in the position that he's in.
That's really interesting, actually, because I mean, I knew he was acting director, but I'd heard nothing about him like coming up for a confirmation or anything like that. So he could just sort of just coast for a while as acting director.
That's true, and you're right that, you know, you didn't hear a lot about him when he was coming up for his confirmation as deputy administrator. I wrote pretty critically at the time about how the Democrats handled that overall. You know, part of the issue is that Andrew Wheeler, unlike Scott Pruitt, who, you know, had never really worked outside Oklahoma politics before taking over the EPA, Andrew Wheeler is 100% a creature of the Beltway. You know, he served as a congressional aide. You know, he worked for Senator James Inhofe.
Oh, God.
On the Senate EPW. Right. And then he moved on to be a lobbyist for a bunch of really powerful industrial interests in Washington. So he knows how to talk the talk. He knows how to walk the walk. And, you know, he's fluent in that sort of D.C. legalese that makes, you know, even supposedly environmentally hawkish Democratic senators much more comfortable than, say, you know, a Scott Pruitt or some of the other, you know, folksier and more polluter-friendly candidates that the Trump administration has put up for cabinet positions.
Like, what a finger in the eye to Democrats and environmentalists, not just Democrats, but environmentalists, people who care about the environment, to put someone from James Inhofe's staff as the head of the EPA. I mean, that's just laughable.
It's true, and I will also note that he, while he was working for James Inhofe, helped the senator to put these tax probes in place of nonpartisan groups of state air pollution regulators totally nonpartisan groups. In fact, one of them was led by a Republican. But because these groups came out against the Clear Skies bill that James Inhofe had put forward, which was essentially a backdoor to, you know, regulating air pollution but cutting greenhouse gases out of that, and, you know, could have potentially crippled climate legislation for years to come. When they came out against that, you know, they accuse Inhofe and Wheeler of having been the actor who did this, punitively looking into their taxes for no apparent reason other than to punish them for their opposition to his bill.
So we could spend hours talking about how ludicrous the EPA has become in terms of, you know, it's the Environmental Protection Agency. It doesn't look like the people in charge care much about actually protecting the environment, which is a scandal in and of itself. But the EPA, which got rid of their scandal-riddled administrator, Scott Pruitt, earlier this year, now have a new scandal on their hands. And you wrote about this for HuffPost at HuffPost.com. Andrew Wheeler's social media past is coming back to haunt him, it looks like, right?
That would seem to be the case.
Yeah. What all has did he engage in? What was he doing on social media?
So he has more recently, I'll go for it, obviously, the thing that has gotten the most attention, which is that about 5 years ago on his personal Facebook, he liked a, you know, blatantly racist meme of the Obamas. It depicted the, you know, both former president and First Lady Michelle Obama looking at a white person's hand holding a banana, and they're staring at it. And, you know, the racist implications of that are pretty obvious.
Yeah, yeah.
He liked this image. He also made some jokes commenting on, you know, there was an atheist blog that posted a headline on Facebook about Hillary Clinton's affection for the Bible, and under that he joked that she was written about in the book of Revelation alongside the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Now, more recently, as within the last month, he has been engaging repeatedly with a lot of these far-right extremists who are notorious conspiracy mongers. Among them, the guy who helped to propagate the Pizzagate conspiracy theory, which, you know, became a very real thing at the end of 2016 when a man armed with an assault rifle was, you know, holding up Comet Ping Pong and threatening to kill people.
Yeah.
He also has been engaging with people like Dinesh D'Souza, you know, and when I showed these screenshots to him, he answered me very directly and said, you know, he had no memory of liking that image of the Obamas. He was pretty upset about that. But that, the more recent stuff with some of these right-wing conspiracy people that, you know, he didn't realize who the source was, but that he liked the content. So overall, what this really paints is, you know, the picture of a pretty conventional 53-year-old, partisan white male Republican,
yeah,
in 2018.
Well, it's so interesting to me how it's become so mainstream. I mean, the Pizzagate stuff, the racist stuff, all of this it now passes for mainstream conservatism these days.
It's true, and it sort of, you know, seeing how far back this goes, it sort of gives some important context to how, you know, the party embraced really blatantly racist rhetoric and imagery well before Donald Trump capitalized on it and, you know, was accused of having mainstreamed it.
So my prediction is that he survives this quite easily.
I think that that's true. And I'll say that last night I interviewed Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley, who so far is the first and only senator and Democrat overall to call for the acting administrator's resignation over these findings. And, you know, speaking to him, he seemed to, you know, he seems very resigned to the fact that he was just sort of signaling to his own base by doing something like that, and you know, drawing a line in the sand rather than really drumming up a movement that could topple this agency chief. I mean, it took an unbelievable mountain of accusations and more than a dozen federal investigations into Scott Pruitt for things to get so bad that he was ultimately, you know, forced to resign. It's also clear that he was only forced to resign when it was clear that they had Andrew Wheeler in, you know, in waiting. He was there, and there were people like Inhofe and others who said, you know, it's a shame what's happening with Scott Pruitt. Somebody like Andrew Wheeler would be a very capable replacement for him. So there was the political will to see somebody like Wheeler ascend. There isn't another Wheeler, so that seems highly unlikely. Wheeler has also survived past flubs from his past social media. During the confirmation process, it came out in the Washington Post that he had made some offhanded comments about how Donald Trump was a bully and he didn't understand how government worked. And, you know, we know how sensitive this president can be to criticism, and yet that didn't seem to derail anything.
Jeez, man. It's what's fascinating to me in all of this stuff, aside from just the outrageous things that these administrators are trying to get away with, whether it's, you know, Brock Long or Scott Pruitt or Tom Price. And you just look at how the administration has gotten better at just saying, like, yeah, we're not really concerned by the scandal. We're just going to keep going. They're just going to keep plugging along. They find a way to insulate their people from actually having to, you know, pay any consequences. You know, I look on TV and Brock Long is everywhere. It was just a couple weeks ago we talked about his outrageous spending of tax dollars, and like, it just, the administration just doesn't care. So they're just going to move. We're just going to move on.
I mean, this administration seems acutely aware of the limitations of the news cycle and the limitations of media outlets to keep a seemingly important story at the forefront when there is more salacious news to distract most audiences. I mean, it's very clear that, you know, something like this story even probably got as much attention as it did. And not to belittle anything, you know, liking an image like this is a despicable thing. And, you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center, I asked them about this, and they were, you know, disgusted by what they saw. But there's also an image attached to it. And at the end of the day, you know, some of the more scandalous activity coming out of, you know, this acting administrator's office may well be the fact not that he's liking a racist meme, but the fact that he is pushing policies that, by the EPA's own estimates, will add thousands of premature deaths, mostly in marginalized communities of color, you know, when it comes to rolling back the Clean Power Plan and things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are actually, you know, there are even, you know, less salacious stories about this individual within the administration that probably merit more attention than even the story that we're talking about right now. So I think this administration is very aware of that, and they've been able to really effectively capitalize on that.
Alexander Kaufman, a reporter who covers climate and environmental policy for HuffPost, has been our guest. Alex, you can follow Alex on Twitter at Alex C. Kaufman. That's one F, one N in that last name. Alex, I really appreciate you being with us, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for tuning in to the Bill Press Show. We always have lots of content out there for you. We put out as much as we can, and we have more coming soon.